you have your Bible, if you'd open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 today. I read this story about a ship captain who had a route with a ship from Colombia to the United States. And one day before he was leaving, some people contacted him and sent a message offering him $500,000 to allow a small shipment to be carried on his boat. No questions asked. They would have people that would put it on and people that would take it off. He wouldn't even know it was there. And he said, you don't have to know what the cargo is or any of the particulars. We'll give you $500,000 cash and you can go on with life. He said no. A few trips on, he gets asked the same question again. This time, they raise the offer from $500,000 cash to $2 million cash. No questions asked, same thing. You won't know when it's on, you won't know when it's off. Everything is fine. He said no again. They contacted him again the next time he made the trip. This time, they raised the price that if he'd do this to $3 million cash. And with that, the ship's captain contacted the FBI. A sting operation was set up, and the drug dealers were arrested. One of the FBI agents asked the man after that, he said, why did you wait until it got to $3 million before you contacted us? Why didn't you contact us when it was $500,000? And he simply replied, because they were getting close to my price. I thought that was very interesting in light of when we talk about detoxifying our lives, that maybe sometimes we don't need to learn more, but we need to be reminded of some things more. Because I believe that the world is trying to saturate us into its culture so much that if we don't really stand up and resist it, that we'll find ourselves, we'll turn around, we'll find ourselves in the middle of what we said and what we'd hoped we'd never be a part of. And several months ago, or over a year ago when I met Robbie Raw, she looked at me and she said, the first thing that you need to do is go through a detoxification. Now, I looked at her and I didn't have a clue what that meant. She said, you got to drink a few ounces of Bragg's apple cider vinegar every morning. And I'm telling you, I'd rather go through 7 years in the tribulation than drink that stuff. It's so nasty. First thing in the morning, it's like, dear Jesus, take me home now. And then get some lemons in hot water, squeeze them, and drink that. Well, actually, I began to like that after a while. But she told me about then you can't have or put these other things in your body if you're going to go through this detoxify. One of them was coffee. I knew right then she was of the Antichrist when she said that to me. But I said, okay. And the purpose is to remove poisons from your body that build up inside of you. And I believe that's the same thing in a spiritual way in us, that we receive things in our lives over time, the news, the television, the newspapers, you know, all kinds of stuff. Culture satiates us with its ways and its the way it does things. And Paul reminds us something in this in 2 Corinthians 6, and verse 14 through 18. In the New International Version, he says, don't be yoked together with an unbeliever. And that doesn't just mean in marriage, but that means don't let the environment or the world that you're living in have such a profound influence on your thinking that it conforms you to what the world has for you. That you need to change that. And don't let that have such that influence in your life that you start looking and acting more like of what you've been called out of instead of what you've been called to. And then he goes on to say, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Wouldn't that Belial, that's a Hebrew word that just simply means Satan. It's the evil one. It's the word for wickedness. And what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And then he says, we are the temple of the living God. You are, you know, when we came into this building this morning, this building is not the temple of God. God doesn't reside in the walls and the ceiling, in the floor and the carpet and the chairs where you're in. He resides inside of you and I. If we, in fact, name Christ as our Savior and our Lord Jesus now, he lives inside of us. Paul says, we are the temple of the living God. And he says, God has said, I'll live with them and walk among them and I'll be their God and they will be my people. And then he says this, and my father-in-law used to tell me this when I was a young boy. He says, come out from them and be separate and touch no unclean thing and I'll receive you. Paul pulls a script out of the Levitical law here about not touching things even that will have this evil and negative and profound effect on you that will pull you away. Don't allow yourselves to cuddle up with things that will destroy you. Don't allow yourselves to be a part of a culture or a community that has evil intentions for your life. And that doesn't mean that you can't have friends that are unsaved. That's not what I'm talking about. There is a difference. But what I am talking about, what the apostle is talking about here, is not to let them make you into what they are. You are called to create and to help them be what God has made you into. I used to tell my boys when they were kids in school, don't you allow others to lead you. You guys, be the leaders. And I'd beat that into them. Well, I wouldn't beat them, but I'd speak it into them strongly every single day of their lives. Be a leader. Let people follow you. Don't you be a follower. And come out from among. And be separate. Don't touch things that'll hurt you. And he said, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be like my sons and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. And then he picks it up again in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In the next chapter, in the first verse, he says, therefore, since we have these promises, what promises? That if we stay away from the things that want to destroy us, that God is going to bless and use our lives. Since we have these, he says, let us, not somebody else, he said, let us. You have a commitment to make. You have a decision to make. You have to move in a direction. He said, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and the spirit. That's powerful right there. He says, perfecting holiness out of reverence or just honoring God. We need to set ourselves apart from the things that will destroy us. David said in Psalm 13:2, he said, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts every day, have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And Paul says in Romans 7, he's struggling with all these things. He said, why do I do things that I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this life that I'm living in? He says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Then in Romans 8, in verse 5 and 13, he breaks it down a little and he says, those who live according to sinful nature, they have their minds set on what the nature desires. Hear that now. Those who live according to a nature that is sinful, they set their mind on that. Some of you are already making plans. You're thinking about what happened last night, last week, or what you're going to do later on today. And if it isn't of God, God said he just calls it sinful nature. This isn't a, you know, this. I'm not trying to beat up anybody or make them feel bad. I'm trying to get you into a position where you're going to have some joy, peace, life, have a healthy and a whole family. He says, if you live according to the sinful nature, you have your mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. What do you got your mind fixed on today? He said, the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. There it is. Life and peace. Come on, step away from the stuff that wants to destroy you. He said, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not for this to be the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the same sinful nature, you will die. And he's not talking about a natural death. He's talking about you're just going to deteriorate as an individual, as a person. Your spirit, you'll just melt away. And you are created for more than that. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me today. You are recreated. No, there's no big me's and little you's here. We've all been created in the image and the likeness of God. Every one of you have a destiny upon your life. Every one of you has the hand of God on your life to do something great. He's called you. He's set you apart. He's anointed you and blessed you to be something incredible in this life. And you'll never do it if you continually walk down that road and let the sinful nature direct your life. This isn't trying to make anybody feel bad. This is trying to lift you up and make you feel good. He said, but if you live according to sinful nature, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, look at that, the misdeeds of the body. A lot of times your body is what gets you into trouble. If you put them to death, you'll live. And so we got to detoxify. And how do we do it? You got to start. And oh, my goodness, I remember when I started this, you know, I thought I was going to die. You got to start starving some things in your life. You got to starve doubt. You got to starve that. You got to stop believing what the world thinks and says you are. Some of you have been told some pretty horrific things in your life. Growing up, even as an adult, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're this, you're that, you're an addict, you're an alcoholic, you're this, you're that. I could go on and on. I don't even like to say it. That's not who you are. If you've given your life to Christ, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. My goodness. Old things, the Bible says, are passed away. And behold, all things become brand new. You are not that anymore. And you need to learn to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You got to starve that. You got to quit saying what somebody else says you are. You got to begin to start saying what God says you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been born again. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I'm going to be, but I'm on my way to be what God has called me to be. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. That's not so we can get a better car. That's so we can get a better life. I am born again. I have been washed in the blood. That's why we sang those blood songs today. If you've been washed in the blood, you're not who you used to be. I remember years ago when I was a kid, and I was with my girlfriend, who's my wife now. We went to see one of her aunts. The lady sitting there said, what's your name? Never met her before. I said, my name is McDonald. Oh, I know who you are. I go, you do? She goes, yeah, you're an alcoholic. I go, I am? She goes, yeah, I knew your dad. He was an alcoholic, and I knew his dad, and he was an alcoholic, and if they were, you are. Well, I'd just been saved. I had a little fire, maybe even a little more than I have now. I rose up in some holy indignation. I said, I want to tell you something, lady. I may be McDonald, but I am no alcoholic. I have been changed. I am delivered. I am set free. I am not who I used to be. And I won't let you or anybody else associate my name with that anymore in my life. Come on today. Get that doubt out of your life. You got to starve it. You got to starve negativity out of your life because it'll pollute your spirit. You got to think what God thinks about you. Isaiah 26:3, he'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in you. You got to learn to say what God says about you. Your language not only shows what's in your heart, but it shows what is important to you as well. If you go around talking negative, oh, this is bad, that's bad, this is no good, that's no good, it's because your heart is darkened. It's because you got an issue inside. And you got to starve that. Even when you feel like saying it, don't put a hand over your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Stop it. You get mad at your wife or your husband, there you go again. You're always like that. Let me tell you, if you talk to your wife or your husband like that, you are sowing seeds of negativity in your marriage, and you will never come out of where you're hoping to get to. But if your wife walks in, I don't care. She just crawls out of bed in the morning. She looks like she just crawled out of bed in the morning. You look at her and you say, honey, baby, you are fine. What did you do before you got up? I didn't even see you get all gusted up. All of a sudden, you'll see a little sparkle in her eye. She'll start to do this way. Thank you, baby. Oh. All the ladies said, come on, help me out here. I'm working for you. Get that negativity out of your home. You got a job, and you go around in your job, well, the boss is this way. This is bad. That's bad. Everything's bad. Never going to get a raise here. You're right. You're going to get fired is what you're going to do. You negative thing, you're like a poison in the pot of soup. Quit being negative. Change your speech. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the New Living. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good, helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to everyone that hears them. And how about if this week, if you're negative Nelly in this house today, that you'll just take a few pills of sweetness and niceness and make a plan this week that every word that comes out of your mouth builds up, encourages, edifies, and speaks life over somebody instead of being that one that says, oh, you're this and you're that. Come on, starve that in your life. Make a decision you're not going to be that and be a builder, not a destroyer. Starve it. And then you got to starve sin in your life. Come on now. Somebody says that the 21st century church, they don't like to talk about that. We need to talk about it because it destroys humanity. And Jesus came to set us free. And the word sin just means missing the mark. Some of you, you're in a situation and you need to come out of it. And God's not pleased with it and he's not going to bless it. You want all the blessing of God in your life? Start doing what he tells you to do. Amen. Today is the day that you start. Not next week. Not next month. Not springtime. Not wintertime. Right now. Amen. Everybody say, right now. Amen. Somebody's hearing me right now. Get your aim on something better. Let God, you're going to turn to what God wants you to do and begin to live for him. Get out of that. Stop. Starve that in your life. Starve it. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Start doing it. Quit looking for everybody to justify your negative actions. Hey, listen. It doesn't matter to me. I tell people all the time, you want to live like hell? That's up to you. I'm going home with the blonde tonight. I am not taking your junk home with me. My car isn't big enough to hold it. I got my own stuff to deal with. I'm not taking your stuff home. But I want to encourage you today. You need to dump it off and quit doing what you've always done. Because if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got. You are not going to get something different out of it. Come on today. Oh, and Robbie says, you got to starve this. You got to quit eating this. You got to quit drinking that. Okay, I will. But tell me what I can eat. You got to feed your life with the word of God. Amen. That's got to be number one in your life. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. And the good news, happy are those who reject the advice of the evil men. Instead, they find their joy in obeying the law of the Lord. And they study it day and night. Quit picking up the newspaper first thing. Turning on the news first thing in the morning. Turn on the good news and get the word of the living God into you. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall learn to meditate upon it day and night. Then shall your ways be made prosperous. Then you shall have good success. If you got the word of God in you, if you're reading it every day, you're going to have good days ahead of you. You're going to have success in your business, in your job, in your family, in your marriage, with your children. You want this? Feed your life the word of God. Psalm 119:11. The word have I hid, David said, in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but he'll live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And James 1:21 says, get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word which is planted in you, which will save you. Get the word in you. Starve all that other junk and start. Get it inside of you. I'm a little crazy up in here today, aren't I? Where's Rufus when I need him? Come on, man. Help me out in here. You got to get the word in you. Then you got to feed yourself with worship. Come on, brother. Help me. Philippians 4. You got to feed yourself with worship. Worship is not a song service. Worship is something that you and I do. It's not just necessarily something that others lead you in. It's something that you lead in. It's something personal to you. You come into his presence with thanksgiving. You lift up your hand, holy hands in the house of God. The Bible says without any wrath or doubting. You have that intimate time with the Lord. When you worship, he'll unravel messes in your life. When you step out of the natural into the supernatural, God will begin to reveal and he'll show you things that you know not of. When you worship. Turn off that cowboy music and turn on some Jesus music in your car. I just had to throw that in there. I don't know where that came from. Help me, Jesus. Get me back. Lord, forgive me. I want the anointing back. Oh, there it is. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. You remember the story about Jehoshaphat? It's not going to be up on the screen. You can write it down. He had all these different tribes that were coming against him. And the Bible says that he beseeched the Lord. He went out early in the morning, he began to pray. And God began to speak to him and tell him and give him a plan of what he was supposed to do. And then the Bible says that he appointed those that should sing and should praise. The Bible says in the beauty of holiness. And the scripture says that they went out and they began to sing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. And the Bible says that they sang it, praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a tough spot and you just begin to praise the Lord and you just begin to say, God, I want to thank you. I don't know what's going to happen here, but your mercy endures forever. I know another story that Paul and Silas were in a prison at midnight. It was dark. They didn't ask for something to eat, for something to drink, but with the hands in shackles and feet in shackles in a dark, musty, cold cell, the Bible says they begin to sing hymns of praise to the Lord. They begin to lift up their voice to God. And God began to hear that, and he began to shake that place that they were in, and he will do that for you. The scripture says that when Jehoshaphat began to praise and worship, when they begin to worship, God set up ambushments all the way around them. And all of their enemies, when they finally opened their eyes, they were laying dead all around them. I want to tell somebody today, maybe you come into the house, you're not a worshiper or a praiser. You need to get to be, because if you'll worship God in the middle of whatever it is that you're going through, he'll destroy the enemy that's trying to take over your life. And I know I'm talking to somebody here. You got some things in your life that want to kill you, destroy you, take your family, take your marriage, take your business. But if you'll worship God today, if you'll lift up your voice and just begin to praise him, God will go before you and he'll strengthen you and he'll destroy that which is trying to destroy you. Come on today. He'll do that for you. You got to feed yourself on that. You got to feed yourself in worship. Turn the music, turn the TV off, and begin to turn the worship on. And then you got to be a prayer person. You've got to do that. I've had people that have known the Lord for years say, well, I'm just not a good prayer person. Get to be. Get to be. Well, let me tell you something. I've never met somebody that's a poor prayer person that's facing a calamity. Even somebody that doesn't know the Lord. I've had people that tell me, well, I don't believe in Jesus until they're in trouble or they need help. Come pray for me. Anybody else like that? Come help me. Come pray for me. My wife's grandfather, her mother's father, wealthy man. I was just a kid. He hated me because I gave my heart to Christ. He hated me. He didn't like me. But when he got in the hospital, I was just a kid, 17, 18 years old. He didn't want to see me. He talked bad about me. He just did everything he could to drive me away. I just wouldn't leave. Hanging around the blonde. I couldn't let her go. He got into the hospital. This is some 40 years ago now. He was dying. He called up my father-in-law-to-be. He says, Andy, come. I need you to come and pray for me and bring the kid with you. That was me. There's something about a person that prays that when all else fails, you can come through. You can get a victory out of your situation. You can detoxify your life when you get your person in a place of prayer and begin to trust them. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I'm closing with this in the message. It says, if my people, if they will, my God-defined people respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked ways, I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I'll restore their land to health. Aren't you thankful? Come on for that today. Amen. Not a politician. I get so sick of hearing what everybody's going to do. Not going to do nothing. You know who's going to do it? You and I. We are called by God to change the world. We are called by God to pray. We're called by God to detoxify our life and to get our hearts back on track for where God wants us to live the way he has called us to live. Come on. Do you believe that today? Give him one more praise in his house today. God, we thank you today. Close your eyes, bow your head with me. Father, I thank you today. Prayer people, I want you to come down. Your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, and maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. And you need to make that decision. God's not against you. He's for you. He doesn't have a list of everything you've done wrong. He's got a list of everything you can do right. He just wants you to give your life to him. He gave his blood for you. He shed his blood on Calvary that you can live. He gave you the power over the things that tried to destroy your life. There's no sin that can hold you down and hold you back. Jesus is stronger. His power, his anointing, the Spirit of the living God is greater than anything that would try to attack you, try to destroy you. You got a habit that you can't get over today. He wants to help you detoxify and get on the other side of that. But you need to make Jesus first in your life. You need to give your life to him. And if you haven't done that, you can do that this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. And if I'm talking to you, if you've never given your heart to Christ, I just want you to come down. One of these folks down here, every one of them, they'll love to pray with you, to give you a Bible, to help you, to send you in a direction for you to know the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you've been away from him. There's things in your life. Yeah, there's sin. You've been making some wrong decisions. God's been drawing on you. Well, I feel a tug in my spirit right now when I'm saying that. You're in the middle of a battle right now. It's like if you make this decision that you know he wants you to, it's going to hinder where you're at. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you do what he calls you to, he's going to launch you into a destiny. He's going to help you in every other area of your life. And he'll be a blessing to you. There's no condemnation here. Nobody's condemning anyone. He just wants to help you. Maybe some of you, you're just here. You're hurt. You're broken. You've been disappointed. You've been just crushed by something. Maybe somebody said something. Maybe you're holding unforgiveness in your life. And he wants to help you. He wants to lift you out of that. You can be free from that today. I'm going to pray and then maybe it's something that I didn't even bring up. These folks want to pray and believe God with you. Don't leave. Don't carry that with you. What a special day in the house of God. Just take a moment and get things right with God. He loves you so much. Spirit of the living God. Do what no human could do. Do, God, what no counselor could do. No doctor, no medication. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Freedom, I pray, over your people today. God, for that one or ones who have never given you their lives, I pray that today, before they leave, they'll make that decision. For those who are struggling in an area of their life, God, lift them up out of that, I pray right now. And let them know how much you love them. You're going to help them. Lord, now I just declare favor and life and blessing and love over your beautiful people here today. As they rise up, as they walk in the way, over their homes, over whatever they lay their hands to, I pray today that as your Lord of their lives and their families, that you will bless it in a great way. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen.